When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for choosing this free Anfield Index podcast. If you'd prefer to listen to this or any of our other shows without adverts, then now's the time to check out Anfield Index Pro. With AI Pro, you can supercharge your entire listening experience. You'll not only get all of our podcasts without the ads, but you'll have them far faster with our quick publish feature available exclusively for subscribers. AI Pro also puts you in the heart of our sound studio, with an option to listen to many of our shows live and interact with the podcasters in real time as the shows are recording. Upgrading couldn't be easier. AI Pro is available on all popular podcast platforms, and we have our own apps for Apple and Android. Just head on over to AnfieldIndexPro.com and get started today.
Hello, welcome to the Daily Red, your lunchtime catch-up on all things Liverpool FC. On a Monday, after Fulham 1, Liverpool 3, in the Premier League, which moved Liverpool to second place in the Premier League table, level in points with Arsenal, but behind them on goal difference, 1 point ahead of Manchester City, though City have a game in hand. City also have a slightly better goal difference. A big win for Liverpool. After what has been a very disappointing couple of weeks, going out of the FA Cup to a dreadful Manchester United team, getting shellacked at home by a mediocre Atalanta team, losing at home to a poor Crystal Palace team. And then while we did win in Bergamo, we did not play well. And we never threatened to actually go through in the tie. And it felt like part of the reason we actually won the game, potentially the biggest reason we won the game, was because Atalanta didn't need to come and play us. They just needed to defend their lead. But the weekend was different. Again, I don't think we played particularly well. First half was flat out poor. Second half was definitely better. I wouldn't classify it as good, though I do think some players played quite well. We go 1-0 up through an unbelievable free kick from Trent, and we deserved to go in front, even though we weren't playing well. We were controlling the game in a manner in which we tend to struggle doing quite often. Now, they still had some very dangerous moments. Most of them came through Alex Iwobi breaking down the right-hand side and players not tracking him. And they were able to get overloads. They were able to get their midfielders running off the back of ours. Pereira ran off the back of our midfield. Lukic was getting forward. De Cordova-Reed was getting into advanced positions. And they caused us some problems. But they didn't extend Ali. Like, there's no save in that first half from Ali that you're thinking that Kelleher couldn't have made, for example. So we go one up through Trent. And first of all, you nearly can't believe that we've scored first in a game, a Premier League game. And secondly, you're hopeful now that this will spark something in open play, because up until our second goal, we hadn't scored from open play. I can't even remember when. I had been thinking it was the Diaz goal against United, but that was from a corner. So it's not that one. So it's against Sheffield United, isn't it? We hadn't scored from open play since the Sheffield United game. That's a long time ago now. Let me just go back and see. So obviously, penalty against Atalanta. Didn't score on the previous two. Yeah. It's the Sheffield United game. It's the Gakpo goal at the end of the Sheffield United game. Dreadful. A dreadful run without scoring from open play. He would equalise because we were stupid. And they should have had a corner because Ali definitely touches that shot over the bar. It's given us a goal kick and we decide to get far too clever and play out from the back and make a mess of it and give the ball away. And it pings around, there's a cross in. I think Robbo does well in the first instance. I don't think that's a foul at all. I think he just uses his body really well. But it's our failure to deal from there that's problematic for me. Now, Robbo, to his credit, makes a really good effort to close down Castagne. There was a player closer to Castagne who made no effort to get anywhere near him. That was disappointing. It's a decent finish and whatever. In we go 1-1 at halftime. We come out in the second half and you're really hopeful that Jurgen's had some harsh words to them because they needed a rocket up their arses after letting that lead slip. He needed a rocket up his arse. Because we once again in that first half looked really badly coached, as we have a number of times recently. And I know tiredness is a factor, but, Trent is just back from injury. So fatigue, not an issue in the first half. Kwanzaa's had a rest, fatigue, not an issue. Robertson hasn't played a huge amount of football this year. So fatigue shouldn't be an issue. Ali's been out for an age. Fatigue shouldn't be an issue. Endo's just had a break. Gravenberch has barely played in 3 months. Well, 2 months since the cup final. So fatigue shouldn't have been an issue for any of them. And Harvey Elliott is 21. And while he has played in a lot of games, his minutes total isn't enormous because so many of those appearances have come off the bench. Cody Gakpo hasn't been a regular starter. Fatigue shouldn't be an issue. And Diogo Jota had been out. So fatigue, again, shouldn't be an issue in that first half. Diaz, fair enough. Virgil, fair enough. Those were two of our better performances in the first half. And we just looked really badly coached. We looked like we didn't have any real tactical plan. And our defensive issues are tactical and systemic. They're not individual problems. They're tactical and they're systemic. And you know that because it doesn't matter who plays. The same defensive issues continue to rear their heads. But we came out in the second half and very early on you could tell there was a renewed purpose to this Liverpool team. And on 53 minutes, we go 2-1 up. And it's an absolutely outrageous finish from Ryan Gravenberch. So Harvey Elliott does brilliantly to intercept a pass, play it into Gravenberch. He gets it out of his feet and passes it into the net, gives the goalkeeper absolutely no chance. It is a Yaya Toure-esque goal. And you can go back and listen to pods from around when we signed him. I said that the idealized version of Ryan Gravenberch, if he maximizes his talent and is used in a way that will maximize his talent, Yaya Toure is the player comp for him. Because there's always going to be question marks off the ball, but on the ball, given the size, given the build, given the technical ability, Yaya is the player he could not replicate because Yaya, it was an incredible footballer, but that's the player he could aspire to be. And that goal is pure Yaya Touré. But that goal is also why Ryan Gravenberch annoys me and many others, because you see that level of talent. And there's a 19-minute spell then from this goal up until he gets taken off. There's a 19-minute spell where he plays, I think, the best football he's played for Liverpool, certainly in the Premier League. It's not about the flashy dribbles. It's not about, you know, the first touch. It's about playing within the system. It's about contributing to the team, using the ball in the right ways. And he does that from the goal. He had been dreadful first half. Dreadful. And he was the player closest to Castagne as the ball broke to him, who didn't bother his arse trying to get there. But that goal and the 19 minutes that follow it are exactly what you would want from him. His defensive work improved. He wasn't, in the first half, you could see him throwing his arms up multiple times when he'd move into a space and the ball wouldn't come to him. And you could see him arguing with himself over whatever the fuck was in his head. But in the second half, when the ball didn't come to him, he just relocated and made himself available again. There was no gesticulation. There was no strop. He had his head in the game. And so he started to get the ball more. And he started to use it simply, but better. He has a really good involvement then in our third goal. Virgil plays the ball into him. Virgil is, you can visibly see Virgil let him know that he can turn. He turns and feeds it into Cody. Doesn't take anything out of the ball. Doesn't slow the game down. Gets it to Cody as quickly as possible. Cody drives on, feeds in Diogo Jota. Times his run perfectly. And Jota finishes after Jota had an absolute stinker of a performance. He, in a very typical Diogo Jota way, scores. And that gave us a 3-1 win. And that is huge. Absolutely huge, because we have two more tough away games to come this week. We play Everton at Goodison on Wednesday. Now, they are dreadful, like absolutely dreadful. Blessed yesterday to win 2-0 against Nottingham Forest. Forest denied three absolute stonewall penalties, all of them on Ashley Young, two of them clear yellow card offences as well. And Forest have rightly, in my view, come out and slammed the PGMOL. They put up a statement on Twitter or X, whatever way you want to describe it. And look, I support them doing it. And I know people, like the company men, Carragher and Neville, immediately bootlicking their way to slandering Nottingham Forest, calling for people to lose their jobs. Do you think that tweet was sent without authorization from above, you absolute dickheads? Carragher, who was outraged that people suggested he should lose his job for spitting at a child, wants a social media manager, social media person, whatever, fired for doing what they were clearly told to do. What an absolute dickhead. What an absolute dickhead Jamie Carragher is. And Gary Neville, I mean, we know how he is. We know how Gary Neville is. We know how his mind works. Company men doing what's right to keep the status quo. When people wonder, like I saw Miguel Delaney tweet that the FA had confirmed they were going to investigate the post by Forrest because it brought the integrity of the game into question. the idea that there's any integrity left in this game is laughable. Absolutely laughable. The idea that there's any integrity left in Sky's coverage of the game is also laughable. And a big part of that is the behavior of Carragher and Neville and the stances they take, which they'll put forward as their own, but they're bought and paid for. These are bought and paid for shills, is what they are. So a way to fuck with the pair of them, fair play to Forrest. More teams should do this. More teams should do this. And when they tell Forrest, we're going to fine you, Forrest should say, absolutely not. We're not paying. We'll happily go to court. And let's have it all out in the open. Let's have every bit of this out in the open. Let's go through the litany of errors made by the PGMOL. And let's see if anybody actually believes that these are all just human error. VAR was introduced to correct human error. And this past weekend, we have seen some shocking decisions. Those three stand out a mile, but I assume we've all seen Jack Grealish play basketball or volleyball more accurately, slapping Cole Palmer's free kick out of the air.
I don't need a VPN. I've got nothing to hide. This is what I used to tell myself before I hooked up with LibertyShield.com. Not only is my home internet now fully encrypted, but I can now access all the websites I want, whenever I want, and do so from absolutely anywhere. As a Liverpool fan, I love to know I can now watch every match, regardless of whether it's on UK TV or not. My Liberty Shield VPN makes sure nothing is blocked and guarantees me super fast streaming speed throughout that match. You can get connected right now with their software package, which includes a 48-hour no-obligation free trial and instant access to their apps for Apple, Android, Fire TV, PC, Mac, and Android TV. Or go a step further like I have and get one of their pre-configured VPN routers. These small but powerful devices allow you to easily connect every device in your home to VPN, making it the perfect solution for smart TVs, Mac boxes, and games consoles. Visit LibertyShield.com today and use coupon code AIVPN25 to get 25% off at checkout.
Not given as a penalty. Bizarre. Absolutely bizarre. I assume we're all aware that there is a referee who's made one or two controversial decisions this year in favour of Manchester City, who has been to Abu Dhabi multiple times this year, getting paid large amounts of money to referee games. I assume we're all aware of that. The enormous conflict of interest that that is, and how it's just brushed under the carpet. Oh no, that's fine. There, that's okay. No, he's more than entitled to do that. Like, if he was a good referee and you thought, oh, he's been brought over there to try and improve the standard, you'd be like, fair enough, but he's not a good referee. Like, he's not a good referee. And it's also well known that he has told people, do not send me to that screen. Don't question my decisions. Like, the guy's a prick and quite clearly a corrupt prick as well. On This Is Anfield. Oh, I was talking about us playing Everton, wasn't I? And I kind of got sidetracked there. Anyway, we play Everton on Wednesday. We should beat them, but it is a derby. Then we go to West Ham on Saturday. We should beat them, but it is a 12:30 kickoff. Now, they've just been battered by Crystal Palace, a 5-2 defeat that really flattered West Ham. We should beat them, but again, it's a 12:30 kickoff and it's in London, so that's tough. After that, we get a week off. Then we play Spurs home. Then we get a week off. Then we go to Villa. Villa may well have top four wrapped up by then. They'll also be coming off the back of a second leg European tie. So potentially some fatigue there. We just need to win these four games. Everton, West Ham, Spurs, and Villa. Win those four games. And then let the chips fall where they may. We go into that final game against Wolves. And if we've won our next four, we've done everything we can to put ourselves in a position for that final day to have it be a situation where if Liverpool win, Liverpool are league champions. Because Arsenal, I don't believe, are winning their next four. Their next four are very, very tough. They play Chelsea. They play Spurs. They play Bournemouth home, which they should win. But they play United away. Chelsea home, Spurs away, Bournemouth home, United away. I don't believe they're winning all four of those. I don't even believe they're winning three of those. So I think we enter the final day ahead of them. City are obviously the issue here. I think we need Spurs to beat them. I think we need Brighton to take a point and Spurs. Either Brighton to take a point and Spurs to take a point works, or Spurs beat them. Because if they win five and draw one of the remaining six, they'll be on 89 points. And if we win our remaining five, we'll be on 89 points. And then it would come down to goal difference. And right now, they have a one goal advantage plus the game in hand. So in all likelihood, they would finish with a better goal difference than us and thus beat us to the title. Then you would have to ask further questions about the integrity of the game, considering what took place at the Tottenham Stadium earlier this season. Then it becomes really interesting in terms of how the club react. There's nothing that can really be done, but I'd be very curious to see how the club react. Loads on This Is Anfield after yesterday's game. Player ratings, a piece about Mourinho being spotted, a piece about how our midfield has drastically improved in terms of goal scoring when compared to last year. Last year, we got six goals from our midfield, three from Curtis, two from Harvey, and one from Stefan Bicetic. Bobby Clark has one, Harvey has two, Gravenberch has three, Jones has five, Alexis has six, and Szoboszlai has seven. We also got a goal from Endo in the league. Maybe two from Endo in the league. But yeah, I mean, the turnaround has been absolutely incredible in terms of just getting production from our midfield players. On Liverpool.com, have a look and see if they're selling us any new hopes and dreams. For those paying attention, Sporting won 3-0 last night to extend their lead at the top of the Portuguese league. They're 10 points clear of Benfica. Now, Benfica play tonight, and you'd expect them to win. They're playing Friends, who are, I think, in 10th in the league. So, realistically, that goes back to being 7 points. But with four games left, it means Sporting need to win two of their last four games to claim the title. They play Porto away next weekend. That's tough. Then they play Porto Menens. That should be a win. And then they play Estoril Praia. That should be a win. They play Chavez in the final game of the league campaign. That should be a fairly straightforward win. Sporting are going to win the league this year. They're going to win the league. They're going to win two of their last four games. They may well win all four of their last four games. but they're going to win at least two. And then that will set up a final game of this campaign for them in the Portuguese Cup final against Porto on the 26th, which in all likelihood is Ruben Amorim's last game before coming to Liverpool. On Liverpool.com, Jordan Henderson spotted training at Liverpool after injury admission amid Ajax struggles. Having flopped in Saudi Arabia, he is flopping in the Eredivisie, and Ajax look a better team without him, to be totally honest. They were better without him before he joined. They've been better since he got injured, and Al Ettifaq have improved immeasurably since he left. Man United makes next manager approach as Newcastle, i3 Liverpool transfer targets. We'll come back to that. There's a piece about Marco Silva, a couple of pieces about Trent, a piece about Diaz. Liverpool transfer news is Jurgen Klopp signing open to 93 million move. Let's come back to that. So, Newcastle is reportedly ready to fight Liverpool for Juventus defender Dean Huijsen. He's currently on loan at Roma and has been really, really impressive. Okay. And also, apparently, Tosin Adarabayo and Lloyd Kelly, they've been linked with Liverpool in the past. I think unlikely that Kelly's a target now. Tosin, I could definitely see us having some interest in. This United thing is Thomas Tuchel. Yeah, I suppose. Let's see. Okay, so apparently we could reignite our interest in Federico Chiesa. I just don't see it. He hasn't been particularly... He hasn't been anywhere close to the player he was pre-knee injury, so I just don't see that one being something that comes to fruition. And also the suggestion there that Luis Diaz is open to move, which I think at this point everybody knows that his dad has not hidden it. The lead story on Anfield Watch is Ashley Young, who's always been an unlikable sort, saying the referee was spot on. Well, he wasn't. He got all three decisions wrong, and you're a very lucky boy. Gary Neville reveals one thing Liverpool must do to avoid title race regrets. Just win the games. That's pretty much it. It's a piece about Harvey Elliott. There's a piece about Jurgen. Sam Maguire has a new piece up about Endo and what we might look to do in midfield. Over the weekend, we were linked by a couple of different people to Alan Varela. I think he would be perfect next to Alexis in a double pivot under Amorim. There's a piece about Rodrigo Muniz, who there is some rumblings that he's a player that we do like and might be somebody that we might look at. We're being linked with a left back from Fenerbahce. I don't know much about this player, must say. Kadiaglu, Ferdi Kadiaglu. Looks a decent player that the handful of games I've seen him. My question would be, are we really going to sign a fella who's only played in Turkey for 26 million? I just don't see it. I really don't see it. He'll be 25 later this year. He's a Turkish international. He's born in the Netherlands and grew up in the Netherlands and played for NEC. The club that Pep and Lindros failed at. And then he was a Dutch underage international, but has switched to playing for the country of his father. I don't see it. I really don't see it. AnfieldIndex.com then. Let's have a gander and see what's new. I know there's plenty of podcasts to come this week. And in terms of articles, there is a piece about the Fulham game, a piece about Ryan Gravenberch's goal and subsequent performance. Ben Boxick has written a piece on Alan Varela. And then there are a couple more pieces about yesterday. Podcast-wise, if you haven't listened to the latest Moby on the Spot, I do highly recommend it. It is outstanding. It's shorter than normal, but still outstanding. There is a new Mindfield, which, as I've said many, many times, is the best podcast in the Liverpool sphere. It's just fascinating with Alan and Andrew. And then there is Post-Match Raw, which is myself, Trev, and Jim Boardman, star of the show. So do give that a listen. And Jim has promised us a Scouser Tommy's. So hold them to that. I want you to send tweets to Jim Boardman demanding a Scouser Tommy's. Demanding it. And I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this Anfield Index show. Please be sure to subscribe to our channel so future podcasts find their way to your device automatically. There's nothing quite like fan engagement, and we'd love to know what you think of anything discussed on this show. The best way to get in touch is over on our free Discord community, where both podcasters and listeners debate the hottest LFC topics 24/7. Sign up free now at anfieldindex.com/Discord. You won't regret it. You can also follow us on Twitter at Anfield Index and find us on Facebook by searching for Anfield Index. Oh, and before you go, we'd love it if you could leave us a 5-star review on your favourite podcast app. It only takes a couple of seconds, and it means the world to the people who create these free shows. Sports Social Podcast Network.